Sure, I started the show with a mistake, but it's not actually my fault. There's a moth in the studio, and anyone who knows me knows I have such a phobia of them. I can't even speak. I can't even say the word phobia when I'm talking about moths. So blame the BBC. You can't blame me. Hello, how are you? That was Mark Morrison and the song that you must play when you bring your laptop back from the Genius Bar, Return of the Mac. Yeah. Hi, welcome to Live and Local with BB Lynch, BB Bernadette Lynch. Anything to say about that? Producer Ollie, nothing. Had quite a lot to say last week. Mocked my beautiful name. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, and we have chat till 10 p.m. Shall we do it? Paloma Faith and Upside Down. So seriously, how do you get rid of moths? Do I just have to move house? Do I have to move city? I've got a bag here. I popped to the supermarket before I did my weekly shop, please, before I popped in here. All socially distanced, all brilliantly done, no queues. But now I'm worried that a moth's going to get into the bag and then come back with me and then be in my flat and then be in my life forever. I lived in Manchester for a year and I left a flat because of moths. I am traumatised by moths. Hey, how are you? What have you been doing? Have you been queuing? Are you one of the queuers outside Primani? I wonder what you bought. Don't make me judge you. I love to judge. Let me tell you about tonight's show. David Shepherd, the co-artistic director of Marlborough Productions, will be here telling us about his company's new exciting chapter. My friend and travel journalist and podcaster Tracy Davies will be here suffering BB's personal playlist. And in a few minutes, brilliant actor, writer, comedian, founder of Comedy Women in Print, Quip, Prize, Helen Lederer, and graphic novelist and UK Comics Laureate Hannah Berry will be here to tell us about the Quip shortlist and all about their lockdown. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. If you're too shy, open bracket, let me know, close bracket, the 1975. Ah, the year I was born. Our first guests are here. Welcome actor, writer, comedian and founder of the Comedy Women in Print Prize, Helen Lederer, and award-winning graphic novelist and UK Comics Laureate, Hannah Berry. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Oh, we're ladies.
You're ladies. Come on.
I'm counting as we speak.
I want you to be ladies, but more than that, I want you to be ladies that know what to do with moths. There's a moth in the studio.
Oh, sorry, go on. I used to live in a flat that had a real moth issue.
And, yeah.
I got really good at this is disgusting. I'm sorry, but I got really good at finding them in the carpets and picking them out, the little worms.
Oh, Hannah.
Oh God, I don't know if you wanted to hear that, did you?
Worms. Now they're worrying about worms.
Helen, tell her to stop it instantly. I'm traumatised. Hello, you two. How are you? Helen, how are you?
Well, I'm very excited. I saw on the Quip thing, it said, get your dips.
Yes.
Somebody said, get dips.
No, you're supposed to bring dips.
Oh, bring dips. Yes. So I actually made myself a dip, but it subliminally planted this idea. And I've actually had some cream cheese and avocado, which I feel is a dip.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just to kind of just connect with you with empathetic thing. And I have to say that Hannah Berry is incredibly funny and talented. She's weak. Aww. I know you're going to talk to her, but she's a comic laureate.
Yes.
And so that's something to talk about. But back to me before we go to Hannah is that... Let's just say, because Hannah is a judge on the Comedy Women in Print Prize, and BB, you should just come to the party, tweet us. We've got the best female witty writers on the shortlist, so it's all good.
Well, you know what my issue is with that?
Tell me.
Pure jealousy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's fine. But we're forging ahead. You've owned it.
And
I've blessed it.
And now we have to get it happened.
And I also suffer from this, which is probably why I set up a prize. It's supposed to be an inclusive community where we embrace all, which I think we do, don't we, Hannah Berry, Comic Laureate?
I mean, I try to be embracing of all.
Yeah.
I hope embracing. So.
You have opinions.
I'm embracing.
Which,
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can tell. I can tell by strong opinions. I can tell. They're
too
strong, Hannah. Stop them. You lost me with the worm in the carpet.
I'm so sorry. I regret saying It's the lockdown. It makes me say things that I shouldn't say.
Hannah Berry, how has lockdown been for you? I'm assuming you are in lockdown with Hannah Lederer.
Of course, in the Quip House.
Oh, yes. We're all in one gorgeous Celebrity Big Brother Quip House where we sit on the sofa and argue. Yeah. No, Hannah is not in my home. Hannah, how are you doing?
That's what you think. Individual? Have you checked behind the sofa? Yeah.
But how is lockdown for Hannah Berry, please?
It's been a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I think the biggest factor is that I've got a toddler, so most of it has been spent trying to entertain the toddler. Yeah, toddling around and finding ways to keep her amused, and that she amuses us in turn. So it's not a complete waste of time. It's been quite nice.
I know how you could
it
do
would
that.
Be different.
Read your toddler. My
Any
tweets.
Hints and tips?
Yeah, read the toddler my tweets.
Oh,
yeah. About dips. Maybe the toddler could be inspired to come up with some dips.
Yes, or dips.
Helen, they would be mud-based.
How's lockdown been for you, Helen?
Well, no, it's interesting hearing about Hannah with the toddler because I do have a daughter, but she rudely lives in Ibiza. And I said, so selfish. It's, you know, we do the FaceTimey bit, but the vistas, you talk about jealousy, the vistas of the sea and the trees.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and then the food on those kind of Mediterranean plates. But which they have in Ibiza, a lot of nice plates. And so for me...
The crockery centre of the world.
You're so clever. You've nailed that one. You should write a funny book. And because I think we've all gone, haven't we, slightly... It's, 2 months now? May I share what I did? Your listeners. I sent off... for a fire bowl on Amazon. A fire bowl, yes, it doesn't ring off. And so what happens is you put the fire bowl in your garden with bits of charcoal, and then you encourage local people, like they don't have to be your besties, but just to socialise. So I did that on Saturday just to kind of have an experience of people. You know,
do you mean a barbecue, Helen Lederer?
Not a barbecue, although a sausage was placed upon it. But
the ceremonial.
This isn't late enough for this show. You two, tell me about... Can I congratulate you on Comedy Women in Print? In that it took me today to realise it was Quip. So well done, me, the slowest woman on earth. Helen, tell me why you founded Quip.
Sorry, I'm laughing, so you made me laugh. Oh, my gosh. Why did I find it? Because of, like you, I'm jealous. I, bitter, twisted 80s comedian, didn't feel that I was getting enough attention with my huge talent. And then I thought, well, as a middle-aged person, I wrote a comedy novel, which got nominated for a comedy literary prize. And then I've been a judge on the. And then I just thought, there isn't a prize for witty female fiction. There just wasn't one. And they say if there's a gap in the market. So mostly I'm ahead of my time. Most things I've done in my life haven't connected. But seemingly this one has. So I just do it all the time and rely on amazing people like Hannah and you to talk about it. And somehow we've got to year two with Marion Keyes being a head judge, and
it's very exciting.
Like that's happened. It is exciting.
Why was there not an awards before?
Well, a good question. I mean, well, actually, I would neatly segue on that very sensible question that why wasn't there a female comic laureate before? I mean, it's just interesting.
Well,
about the
there's
world.
Only been two before me, in case people thought it was like a long running thing. But still.
Hannah, they don't count. They're not here.
Well, exactly. I can trash talk them. They might not be listening. They might be.
They probably, everybody is listening now. We're talking about fireballs.
The talk of the town.
It's really hard to talk of the town. And then the thing is, it is an interesting moment, isn't it, that I mean, I feel I've been doing it forever, but it's sort of like a 5-year project to get to this point, because you have, in the days where you go out and beg people for with drinks and just make people do things they don't want to do. But it is the right time, is it not, to just go, look, we're celebrating witty comedy, you know, witty writing. It's because, as you say, it hasn't been done.
Yeah, I love it. Hannah, I'm going to have to ask you, how do you judge humour?
Well, I mean, it's very subjective, as people say. And what that has meant is that in our judging session, we've had a lot of arguments. I think mostly good-natured. They were friendly arguments. I mean, some of the other judges are good friends of mine. So, yeah, I mean, I was quite surprised. I really thought, having read the long list, I really thought, well, that's, you know, the short list is obvious here. But actually, it turns out that my judging friends, my judge buddies, are of very different opinions. So it got, I wouldn't say got like angrily heated, but there were some angry looks fired across Zoom. I think
they were fired, and it was interesting because I'm not a judge, and so there I could be the sort of jolly interlocutor. And it was interesting. You go, wow, one person absolutely has an opposed view. And that's what comedy does. And so we just had to kind of deal with it and be very generous, which we were. And it happened in actually all of the panels, because there's unpublished, there's graphic, and then there's published. So you're not going to... I mean, some people don't find me funny. I know, I'm shocked.
Idiots.
I can't believe it.
I know. But you know what? It's with comedy, do you not think that it can just... You just go, absolutely yes, or, oh, absolutely not.
Totally. But you know what I love about this prize? I do love that there's an unpublished. The prizes, if I may say, are fantastic. So I really want to encourage people. I know we've only just announced the shortlist, which I want you to say in a minute. But, you know, we want people to be involved in this because it's so... There's every kind of subject.
Yes. If they've got a novel in their bottom drawer, you know, like you've probably got one, Bibi, but you're so busy, you haven't got time to finish it properly.
Helen,
but maybe you will.
I am the busiest woman.
Enter it.
There's cash prize, there's a publishing contract and a 5k advance, which never happens anymore, so that's amazing. There's mentoring, there's like an MA in creative writing. These are such fabulous prizes, and I love as well that it can be anything. That your subjects range from mental health to gender discrimination to dentistry and chip shops.
Oh, dentistry, hilarious. Not that I'm besmirching important profession, I quite like the bizarre. I like I think Hannah Berry does too. I mean, it's really interesting hearing graphic novelists judge, because obviously that's one thing I don't do, oddly. I'm not an artist, and so I just think it's amazing that you've got a sort of a novel, but it's with pictures, and they're all kind of artist and funny. You just go, that's a lot of talent.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the things that really struck me were the timing as well. Like the comedy timing in comics is when it's done right. Oh, it's perfect.
I never thought of that.
There's some. I can give you some suggestions after this, but there's some really great comedy novels out there, graphic novels, which are
on the short list of the graphic. What have we got? Sensible Footwear, which I think is quite a funny title anyway in itself. I mean, didn't your mother just talk about sensible footwear? My husband is a cultist. Bloodlust
and bonnets.
It's all kind of like going in there, and it's just a whole new world, the graphic novel. And then with our published ones, we've got an amazing range. Something for everyone, as they say.
Who's on your shortlist then? Give us some shortlist people.
That's rude, actually. That's a rude expression. Something for the weekend, sir. Sorry, I don't believe I said that. So we've got Queenie.
It's a BBC. Helen.
Sorry, but it's a euphemism bit. They won't get it. Carty Williams. And then we've got a lovely, feisty, you know, like the Derry Girls. We've got kind of Irish... This has really come in. Michelle Galen, Big Girl, Small Town. That is hilarious. That's about chip shop, but other things as well. Nina Steeb, Reasons to be Cheerful. That's the dentistry one. Just like, if you looked at that pile, you would be happy. Say if you went to Ibiza, like, and had a nice plate, and then you would just read one of these books.
Or if you're stuck in, say, a long queue for a shop.
Say, yeah.
Yes, you'd have to dismiss. For example. And wait,
I had a dentist. I had a dentist. Yes. He was so handsome, and I no, this is terrible, Helen. I fancied him so much. I remember talking to him, and I walked into a wall. What was that?
Was that to damage your teeth to go see him again? Yes. Was that intentional?
Good. What a ruse! Like, you really. Oh my god! You really needed a lot of attention.
There was like was a beat that. Ladies.
Was that in the room? I just need to know. No, you must tell me. Was it in the dentist room? You walked into the dentist wall.
We were coming out when I was walking, and I was saying, "Oh, really? I have to pay that much?" Smash. but you two are aware that next year every book you get is going to be about lockdown.
Yeah. You know,
but the good thing is that a lot of people that work in comics we tend not to go out very much anyway. We tend to be quite insular. So this we're probably not really
Except
changed, I would have thought.
I have to go out because I just have to drink. And my other half will say, it's a pity your life involves so much drinking. I say, it's work.
Darling.
Just take a blessed night with drinks. But no, I think you're right. That will be a theme. But not for us, because obviously we're artists and we've already got our ongoing projects.
We're all artists in a way. So the ceremony is at Groucho, lovely, in September.
Yep. I think it will be open then, and if not, you might have some ideas, BB. I thought we could do some outside filming, stream it from Brighton.
Yeah, come to my flat. There's me and a moth.
The flat is fine.
I'll look for the worms.
I'm going to give out comedywomenimprint.co.uk, so people can go on there, get involved, and find out what's happening with this year.
Please
and then
do.
To see how to apply for next, they can do that too there.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, absolutely.
I need to get rid of you, mainly because the fireball thing has disturbed me, and the worm on the carpet has.
Maybe one would solve the other.
It might be too late.
Yes.
Ladies,
oh, ever practical, Hannah Berry, ever practical.
Ladies, can I say goodbye to you?
Please do. Lovely talking to you.
See you soon at the parties.
Take care.
Parties, please.
Bye. Oh my goodness, that prize sounds so amazing. I'm a little insulted they didn't ask me to enter, but I'm sure. I will anyway. Let me tell you the weather. This evening, any showers will fade. It will then be dry overnight with variable cloud and some mist or fog patches. Another very mild night, light winds, minimum temperature 10 degrees Celsius. That's 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
BB Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
I haven't had a morning in years where I haven't remembered a thing. I can't remember a thing during the day from like minute to minute, but in terms of a hangover, and I'm like, oh, what happened last night? I haven't had that for ages. I quite miss that. Is that bad to say? So how are you doing? It is 8:55, nearly 8:56. You're listening to BB Lynch on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. Hannah and Helen were fantastic. And the Quip prize, I think, sounds so great. So, I would check that out. I'm totally, totally going for it. Come on, I've got to get through round one at least, just because I'm now their best friend. So I'm really, really happy to say our next guest is here. And it is the co-artistic director of Marlborough Productions, the fabulous David Shepherd. Hi, David.
Hi, BB. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you are so welcome. How are you?
Yeah, doing all right, thanks. Just sort of, you know, coming to getting used to this lockdown lifestyle. But yeah, just been a strange time to
be
announcing our departure. I did not. No, I stayed well clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just talked over. So you have big news.
Yeah, so we announced last week our departure from the Marlborough Pub and Theatre that maybe some of your listeners have been to over the years.
Yeah.
So we've been in the building for 12 long years. We'd made the decision to pre-COVID-19 actually to depart. But yeah, finally announced last week that end of an era.
It totally is. Am I allowed to ask why? You don't have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've just become aware I think accessibility and inclusivity is a really big part of what we do with the Marlborough. It's always been a really something that we really believe in, and we really want that to be a big part of all of our events. And I think it just became increasingly aware to us, you know, the building is from 1784, one of the oldest pubs in Brighton, and it was just, whilst it's a wonderful, wonderful gift and it allowed us to do lots of amazing things, it just created lots of barriers about who and what kind of people could come to our events. So we just decided that we would take the big step to try something else, mix it up.
I think that's super interesting. What kind of way? How is it restricting people?
Big flight of stairs that you can't do anything about. We just, so much of what we've done in the last few years with events that we do at other venues in the city has been about kind of inclusive and sort of radical programs. So like Brownton Abbey, the project my co-artistic director Tarek produces, big kind of Afrofuturist party. It's all about inclusivity and disability and kind of centering disabled queer artists of colour. And it just felt a bit strange to be trying to kind of do that from a space where, you know, there were just big physical barriers to making that happen. So yeah, a real shame. We love that space and we love the Marlborough at the pub and theatre still, but just wasn't right for us anymore.
But do you know what? So when I first heard this news, I was like, oh, that is really sad news, because the Marlborough, I love Marlborough Productions, I love the Marlborough. But actually, even you just saying that, this is exciting new challenges news.
Yeah, I mean, and as running a pub is bloody hard as well. So we did that for 5 long years. We ran a pub, and running a queer pub especially, you know, it was tough, and it's, you know, it's only closed sort of 1.5 days a year. So you're just constantly on shift all the time and busy all the time. And actually, I think we just wanted to focus on like the creative projects that I think that made the Marlborough really exciting and made it different and made it a fun place to visit. And I'm hoping we can just bring that vibe to the other venues that we work with, and to the Spire, which is going to be our base for the moment, which is this incredible deconsecrated church in East Brighton.
I've been there, and I saw some True Stories productions there, and it's so atmospheric, isn't it? A mesmerising place.
Atmospheric is often a code word for freezing, and it is freezing in there, but we are working on that. So it's a great, beautiful space, and just like, and we've done some stuff there. We put David Hoyle on there for Pride last year, and we had done events with Scotty there, and a few other performers, Panty Bliss and various other things. And it's always been a great, great place for us to put kind of queer artists on in this kind of sort of unlikely surroundings. So yeah, we're looking forward to doing more there.
Well, these kind of people like David Hall and Lorraine Bowen, Le Gâteau Chocolat, so these are, you know, you've been involved with such huge artists, and Marlborough Productions has always been hugely important to LGBTQ plus culture. That's still going to carry on, definitely, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of in the DNA of what we do. It's kind of what me and Tarek have always been really excited by, you know, working with people like Penny Arcade or Justin Vivian Bond, or all these kind of brilliant performers that we've got to work with over the years, and David and Travis Alabanza, you know,
all the kind of
young talent coming up. So it's definitely will always be what we do. But yeah, I think it's just finding kind of different places and different contexts where we can make exciting things happen.
So, and you'll be touring? You'll do some touring?
Yes. Mm. So we tour around the country. We're doing a lot of digital projects like everyone in the world at the moment, and kind of taking what we do online. So we've got new kind of commissions from artists like Harry Clayson Wright, who's a great kind of Instagram star. And stuff we're doing with Brownton Abbey, with Tarek's Afrofuturist party. So we did the big project in Brighton Festival a few years ago, and we're doing a digital version of that later in the year. So yeah, there'll be lots to check out. We've got a new website, which is marlboroughproductions.org.uk. UK, and you can find out everything that we're up to on there. And yeah, just hopefully we're really delighted by the way that people have supported us in this. Mm-hmm. And I think the important thing is that like the Marlborough is still going to be there, and I think, as you probably know, like COVID has completely kind of put the hospitality sector under such strain. So we just encourage community members and non-community members, so that if you care about the Marlborough, if you care about your LGBT spaces, then please just go and use them when we are allowed to, when it's safe to do so.
Well, talking of when we're allowed to, I don't know how far ahead you kind of plan stuff, but you know, oh, that was a sign. Yeah. Dave, you're right.
That was a big sigh. I know, I nearly passed out. I mean, no one knows anything. So, I mean, I'm not going to make any political statements. But yeah, I think some indications would be great. But I mean, I know we're all in the same boat in lots of ways. So I think it will just, we'll just wait and see. But hopefully the Marlborough pub will be open and we can all go and have a drink at some point.
So we can just, so give out your website again. So whatever's coming up, so your live program you've got going on now.
Yeah.
Just a few more things that are on your live program.
We do a big book festival in the autumn called The Coast is Queer, which we're going to be doing a digital version of in October. What else have we got going on? Bits and Pieces for Pride. We did this exhibition at Brighton Museum called Queer the Pier, which is running until February 2022.
I went to the opening of that and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm so proud of it. The volunteers who worked on it, the curators, did an unbelievable job, and Brighton Museum are really supportive. So I'd really, as soon as the museum's open, go and check that out. Yeah. But yeah, so marlboroughproductions.org.uk, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and all those things.
Well, I'm wishing you all the best. Our lovely mutual friend Anna Goodman told me the news, and I was like, no. But now I'm like, okay, this is actually a good thing. This is a positive thing.
I think it's exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me, though. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Take care and come back and let us know when everything's back, what to expect.
Will do.
Okay?
Definitely. Thanks, Bye. BB. Bye.
Oh, I like that. Say Something, Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton. That's quite profound, isn't it? Say nothing at all. Not so great for me as a presenter and writer. Have you got your bubble? I haven't. I'm deliberately not looking at producer Ollie as I say this. I don't want anyone. If I say this to anyone, I feel that they feel then obliged to do it. But no one's asked to be my bubble. I'm on my own and no one's asked to be my bubble. And it's hard to take that personally, to not take that personally, isn't it? Although in a way, I think I don't want to be anyone's bubble. That's a real commitment. I can't commit to a lip gloss, let alone someone who's the only person I see. Saying that, though, one of my brothers is, I'm going to see one of my brothers tomorrow. You know the bubble thing? So say I declare my brother is my bubble, am I allowed to hug him? Are we allowed to, Ollie, am I allowed to hug him? I'm allowed to hug him. Oh, don't, I will cry. Really? You sure? Oh, he's nodding. Oh, okay, this is amazing. Great news for me, less great news for Dan. Sobbing older sister all over him. Just what anyone young brother needs. I love that song. The Best Things in Life of Free, Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson. Ooh, Luther. I am so sad I never got to see Luther Vandross perform. Who would you have loved to have seen you didn't see? Oh, I'm going to have to go through a list now. Elvis, can you imagine? Johnny Hathaway. Oh, Luther. I saw Prince. I managed to say, oh, do you want to hear a really horrible Prince story? Okay. it's nothing to do with moths. Oh, I haven't. So now I'm more concerned about the moth because I can't actually see the moth now. So I wonder where she is. I bet she's in my hair. So Prince, right? Played at Ronnie Scott's, and it was like a kind of secret gig, and it wasn't advertised or anything. And I happened to be in Ronnie Scott's the night before, and I went to see a gig. It was Al Jarreau, and Ian Shaw was on the other week, do you remember? And he was talking about, we were talking about Al Jarreau, and it was this amazing gig in Ronnie Scott's in Soho, and it was just magical. And I looked at Ian, and Ian's about the best singer on earth, and he was crying because Al Jarreau is the second best singer on earth. And it was this amazing, amazing gig. And as I left, someone I know, Ronnie said to me, maybe you should come down tomorrow night. And I was thinking, why'd I come down tomorrow night? I've already just been here. I'm a busy woman, as you all know. I've got moths to sort out. So I didn't go. And then I was on Twitter, and you could just feel this kind of, ooh, something's going on. And people started posting pictures of queues outside, in Soho, and then outside Ronnie Scott's. Prince was playing Ronnie Scott's. And I never got to see him, like one of the most amazing performers at one of the most incredible venues. And because it's, you know, it's not a tiny venue, but it is an intimate venue. And to see Prince there, come on. What's your best ever music week? Mine was, I went to see Prince in the same week, okay? Prince, the Neville Brothers, Anita Baker, and Prince again in the same week. come on. I mean, that's extraordinary. And we were on the tube to going down to see Prince. Where was it? Was it Wembley? I'm not sure. And the tube driver was saying, was kind of got the crowd going in the tubes. He was saying, well, you know, you're going to see Prince. Oh, you know, everyone. Oh, it was so, so thrilling, so exciting. Maybe not as exciting as seeing my brother tomorrow, who I can now hug. Oh, I'm going to cry. Poor Dan. Talking of crying, my guest after nine is my friend Tracy, and I'm going to be doing BB's personal playlist. And as much as I love that section of the show, and I know you do as well, and producer Ollie loves it, the guests not so much, because they're just scared. They don't know what I'm going to say. They don't know what I'm going to do. They don't know if I'm going to be mean. And I'm not a mean person, but sometimes I really want to be mean. But today, as every time I do BB's personal playlist, which I know you know, is just I choose three songs that for whatever reason remind me of this person. I am kind and I am loving and I give the gift of music as I give to you now. Daft Punk and One More Time. Welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with BB Lynch. Thank you for joining us tonight. Please get in touch if you've got any, seriously. If I go home and there's a new flatmate with me who's arrived home with me and it's moth-shaped and not contributing to the rent in any way and losing me my single person 25% discount because it's a creature, I'm going to be furious. So if you have any moth advice... Please help. So text me, 81333, start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
So, I'm here in a room, me and a moth, and we've come to the time of night where... I love this show. You know I love this show. This bit, though, is especially special. Does that make sense? Can you say especially special? Is that like someone saying it's very unique? Because it's just unique. Anyway, especially special. Because I get to speak to a loved one and I get to share the gift of music with them. And what, you know, I know people say food is love, cooking is love. If you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you know that's not, the opposite of that is true with me. So this bit is BB's personal playlist, and you know the idea behind this. So back in the day, people would play, are we saying back in the day anymore? I can't remember. People would make mixtapes for you. Someone who loves you would make you a mixtape. And we're saying, look, people are at home now. They've got more time on their hands. Maybe they're listening to more music. I am. I'm certainly listening to more music. Maybe they're getting some sucker from that music. And we were thinking maybe we should start a movement where people make mixtapes or playlists for their loved ones and friends now during lockdown. And I'm going to do it too. I'm going to make playlists, and I just choose three songs that for whatever reason remind me of a person. And I give them the gift of music on air. So this week's lucky lady, the lucky recipient of BB's personal playlist, let's call them victim for short, is travel journalist, co-host of the Carry On podcast, and my tallest friend. And friend O Show and friend O Station, Tracy Davies. Hi.
Oh, hello. I am your tallest friend.
How tall are
Nearly
you?
Nearly 9 foot. I'm just over 6 foot.
I mean,
I know.
What a
statuesque.
Blessing. What a blessing.
Amazonian, I
oh,
like to call
so
it.
You are so lucky, honestly. And you're blonde. I mean, it's infuriating. Hey, Tracy, do you know what to do with moths?
No.
I don't mean how to entertain them.
See? Can't you dance with them? I'm not sure. What do you do to keep moths happy?
I don't know. How do you get rid of them? There's one in the studio.
Oh, I don't know. Turn the light off.
Then I can't see.
That's what they're attracted to your... They're attracted to your hair.
It is very shiny. And my eyes are bright like a puppy.
Oh, that'll be it, yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Are you?
Know,
busy?
Very busy. I know you never listen to my show.
Now, do you know what this show? What's
yeah,
this?
This show. You know this section, don't you? You love this section.
I do. But I'm very nervous,
BB. No, you should be. Yeah, good, good. You should be. So we have to do a little précis of our friendship, of our relationship before we get into the juicy okay. bit. So you're a new friend?
I'm a new friend, yeah.
When did you meet? Was it a year ago?
We met. God, I remember the day. I remember where it was, the hour. We met in September with our mutual friends and friend of the show, Jean Smith.
Yeah.
The lovely Jean Smith.
Now, I met Jean when Jean taught me how to flirt for a feature. She took me on a flirting tour. And you,
yes,
but you
when,
knew Jean.
Were you doing that? I've known Jean for quite a few years, actually. I knew her from my London days.
Yeah.
But weren't you flirting on our meeting? Or was it after that? I'm sure you were doing some flirting in Brighton.
I think we were doing it after. Yeah, that's right. So we met in a restaurant, didn't we? And we were...
Yes.
Yeah, so Jean came down. Jean was killing all the birds with several stones. And was seeing you and me and having some food and then coming on a radio show and teaching me to flirt and finding me love. And here I am single. later. But I met you. I got you.
We did, but that's it. And yes, I was very, very a bit overexcited, as I remember, because I'd been following you on Twitter for quite a while, but I'd also known you from your magazine column days, and so I'd been reading your stuff for a very long time.
Oh.
So I was a bit of a fangirl.
Oh.
So can you imagine how excited I am now?
Were you? So what magazines did you read that I was in?
Well, God, I've been reading Red for donkey's years. Remember, I'm not sure back then, but also New Woman. I think I read that for quite
How
a bit. Most
you?
Of most of the glossies. I'm only
I
27.
Young friends.
Not really. I'm 48.
Are you? Wow, you look young. So we met then, and it's lovely because Tracy lives nearby and journalists. So you know, it's great, brilliant friend. So you are a new friend, and I don't know you well enough, really, if I'm honest, to have song memories of you. But I do know you well enough to know you have terrible taste in music.
This is my big fear, because what if you play something like really cool and I don't recognise it?
No,
like,
that's not going to happen. I've chosen songs that I really, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, Ollie, but I really do not like. I'm thinking, I bet you love them.
This could be the end of a beautiful friendship.
Well, tough. You've only got yourself to blame. I'm going to write a column about you. Imagine, who do you think the first artist would be? Who do I really, 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 who does even the BBC recognise as someone that I do not like?
I know this. And this breaks my heart because I am, I think it's ABBA, because I am their biggest fan. So much so that my son's middle name is Bjorn, because I love them. Because I love them so much.
What do you love about them?
Oh, I love the kitschiness. I love their, I just love everything. I love the look. I really wanted to be like Anna Fried. Hold on.
Is she the
Agnetha.
Blonde one?
No, the blonde one. No, I want to be the blonde one. Agnetha. Okay. I should know this.
You should know this.
I just really, I don't know. I find them really comforting and they just, oh.
As far as I'm concerned, the only exciting thing about ABBA, and I honestly, and I'm a big shout out to our Swedish listeners, is the divorcing. Lovely, I love that.
Oh,
like
I did love all the videos when they were breaking up,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Then one of them had to leave. Oh, yeah, they were great.
Yeah, yeah. They're like the.
God, but which one? But which
the vanilla
one will
Fleetwood
it be?
Mac, aren't they?
Oh, but they're so, you just can't, I love them. I love every single song. So,
I mean,
whichever one you've got.
Well, I'm going to play it. This is for you, Tracy. Really, really, I hope you have
Thank
a nice
you.
Time. Mamma Mia and ABBA. Yeah, it's for you. Seriously, the longest 3 minutes and 31 seconds of my life.
Did you have a little jig, though?
Do you know what
Did you
upset
have a little
me?
Jig?
I'll tell you what upset me. My right foot let me down. It was tapping. How?
Can I tell you, I'm so pleased you chose that one, because I actually won a talent contest miming to Mamma Mia.
Why did you that's called karaoke.
Well, I can't.
Why did
I can't
you
sing.
Oh.
Because it was just, pretending to be a drag queen. But we won, so, you know.
Oh, what did you win?
I think it was some sort of, it was in Australia in a hostel. It was some sort of booze.
Some sort of booze. You know ABBA. So when that,
yes.
So who? Why did they break up? Who was with? Was there an affair?
Oh, it was. No, it was. What? Why did the couples break up?
Yeah.
I don't know. What? I don't like to delve too much into it because I don't want to ruin the image I've got, the romantic image I have of the four.
Yeah.
So I don't want to find all the gritty, dirty details.
Yeah. Was it like that when you met me? You didn't want to know the gritty, dirty details because you had an image.
I still don't, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I send you those pictures. Yeah, ABBA. I don't know. I know my dad took me to a theatre in Eastbourne. It's the Congress in Eastbourne.
Yes. Yeah.
Forever ago, Dad used to live down in Friston, and
Oh, did he? I know Friston Forest very
you?
Well.
Do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, love oh. it. Oh, we have to go. Let's go and take Miss Babs.
Okay.
The dog. I thought I'd explain that.
Don't explain that.
A lady called
Tracy's dog. Beautiful Miss Babs. And we went, and Dad took us to. Is it Bjorn again? Is that the
Bjorn again? Yeah,
the tribute
yeah.
band. Yeah, and
yes.
and I just to get through. I just thought I just need Pick a Mix, and I bought so much sweet stuff. And honestly, I then got one of those like E number, you know, rushes. Oh. And then I felt sick, like a toddler at their own party.
Did you rush the stage?
You want Dancing Queen? Like, oh, boy, like, I'll
give you Dancing Queen.
I'll give you Dancing Queen, sweetheart. No. So the next song I've chosen for you.
Yeah.
So when it was your birthday, we met
yes.
for a drink, and then you and your friends were going on somewhere.
To the Commedia. We were going to the Commedia for, it was like a... alternative music night. It's in my head, it's going to fall out again, it'll come back to me.
Okay, well then it's the,
but it was brilliant.
It's not the night I'm thinking of then, because I thought you were going to a place where it was real kind of power ballads.
Oh no, that's the one I wanted to go on, but it was a different night. But Ultimate Power, power ballads are my thing.
Are they?
I absolutely love. They really, really are. Along with ABBA, I love a good power ballad. So have you got a power ballad for me?
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. So I really honestly think this will be our last conversation.
I think we've had a good run.
We've had a great time. But you're married. Does your
yes.
husband, am I allowed to say your husband's name? I always feel like I'm giving away too much.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. He's downstairs sobbing.
Oh, Anthony, don't sob.
Anthony.
Do you and Anthony have the same music taste? Because I think I'd find it really hard to love someone who didn't like their music taste.
We do have very similar music taste, yes. And although when I've been to Ultimate Power, he's not been before.
Right. Do you think he would?
I think he would like to. I think he would be quite mortified because it's not really, I don't know if it's a real sort of lad's night out because there's a lot of, you know, power grabs and big hair.
So I'm going to play you this. And to my trained ear, and that's why this is all so painful for me, to my trained ear, this is the ultimate power ballad. I'm going to give you three guesses. Try and guess which, if I said to you, so-called Tracy Davies, what are the three songs? Which are the three, you know, the power ballad?
Bonnie Tyler, I'd say, would be right up there. Is it her?
Yes! You are good at this.
I'm good. I know my power ballads.
Turn around,
oh my
bright
God.
Eyes.
I'm so, this is, I'm probably going to have a power grab.
Turn around, bright eyes. What does that even mean?
Is this the like the falling apart bit? Is that why you thought of me? I totally get it.
You know,
I love that so much.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Good. No, you're welcome. You know your children.
Hold on. Describe them to me. Yes.
Do they know about your music taste?
Well, you see, they're so out of the three of them, one of them has the same musical taste as me, but she might grow out. This is Lola, right. And she might grow out of it because it's right. Apparently it's quite cool to like.
No.
You know, 80s power ballads.
Honestly, I totally got my music taste from my mum. So you,
oh really? Oh,
yeah.
God,
so you,
brilliant.
Yeah, you watch it, lady. So my final track for you, Tracy Davis.
Yes.
Is because A, you wear a cape.
I am often in a cape, actually. You'll see me around Brighton.
Please explain to people why you wear a cape.
I wear a cape because I like to run in half marathons and for attention, obviously, not for the fun of it, and the medals. And I will always wear a cape to get me the most attention. Basically.
You don't even pretend.
I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's, no. You know, it's aerodynamic.
No, it's all about the attention.
You're so funny. So I've chosen this track because I think this sums you up. So you are a travel journalist.
I am, yes.
Yes.
Currently grounded.
Yeah. an entrepreneur, can I call you that?
Yes, please. I'd quite like that, yes.
Why am I calling you that?
Well, it could be for a number of reasons, but perhaps because I was a dog fashion designer once and I set up a company which sold football kits for dogs back in the day.
What was it called?
We moved into fashion. So it started off as football fangs during the 2002 World Cup, and then we moved on to fashion, which was Dog MCUK.
Oh, this is so funny. So you are a renowned travel journalist, an entrepreneur.
Renowned veteran. A veteran travel journalist.
We're so old, Tracy.
So old. I'm not quite as old as you, but still quite old.
Oh, that hurt. and you are a podcast host.
I am a podcast, yes. We have our latest spa special, which is out now, which
and
is really
the Carry
funny,
On podcast with Rose.
It is. Rose Dykins and Michelle McCarthy.
Yeah,
my ladies,
and it's so travel journalists and travel PR combined, sharing all their knowledge. It's really fun. It's super fun. It's really interesting. Really brilliant. So, and you are a fabulous wife and a fabulous mother.
Oh,
yeah. Who wears a cape?
That's really nice of you to say. This man wears a cape.
Yeah. So, do you know the song I've chosen for you?
Do you know?
Is it
Superman?
No, it's in that realm. It's a theme tune.
Oh, I love a theme tune.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Oh, go on. I can't think. Is it Wonder Woman?
See you soon, darling. That's the Wonder Woman theme. That was fun. So let's take a look at the weather. Tomorrow will mostly be dry and warm with sunny spells. However, there is a chance of catching a heavy and thundery downpour in the afternoon, and then there will be light winds. Maximum temperature 21 degrees Celsius at 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And the outlook is rather unsettled and showery theme to the weather for the next few days. Wednesday is expected to see some sunny spells. However, slow moving heavy showers look to break out during the day, which could turn thundery. Thursday then looks mostly cloudy and wet with spells of showery rain, some heavy, and further showers or rain or spells of rain for Friday, and that could be heavy at times.
Phoebe Lynch, BBC.
Alanis Morissette and Ironic. So it's upload half hour. our first upload tonight was sent to us by Ursula Smythe. Ursula and her sister Camilla Bond, who lives in Kew, wrote a song called Tomorrow's Another Day, and it's inspired by what we're all going through and by the times we're living in. She says she hopes the song goes some way towards helping people's outlook on life and their mental health.
upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
That's Tomorrow's Another Day, performed by Ursula Smythe and written by her and her Surrey-based sister, Camilla. So are you writing any music right now about what's happening? Upload it to us and we could play it on the radio. Blossoms and How Long Will This Last? That was a deep breath, wasn't it, from me? The next upload is a comedy monologue based on the theme of utopia. Or Greg's, as my brother Dan would say. It was written in response to Emma Fly Theatre's 24-hour monologue challenge online. And it follows Alex, a young woman on a mission to give the local salad bar an earful about their subliminal messaging to consumers. It's written and performed by Sutton's Laura Shoebottom.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Burgers are not bad. Double glazed donuts are not the devil, and you lot should be ashamed of yourselves. Now.
That's...
You mean you haven't got any Pepsi?
Sorry, Laura, I didn't know that was coming. That's Tip of the Iceberg, written and performed by Laura Shoebottom. That's so funny. Quinoa. So quinoa. I needed an aide memoir to teach me quinoa. And my aide memoir for quinoa is Roy Keane and mwah, when you kiss someone. Quinoa, quinoa. You are welcome. That was Tip of the Iceberg, written and performed by Laura Shoebottom. Laura is based in Sutton and she uploaded that monologue by going to bbc.co.uk/upload. And don't forget, you could get on air by uploading whatever you're making, creating or doing too. If it's a play, a story or a monologue, record it and send it our way. Our last upload this evening comes courtesy of Chichester's Katie Bennett from the Quirks and Foibles sketch trio. They make weekly comedy sketches which they post online. The one you're about to hear is called The Office Thief, where Maureen is alone in the office until she has to face up to her actions.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Now, those were sound effects. That freaked me out. I know. I won't sleep tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Katie Bennett from Chichester. So that was brilliant from Katie, who is one part of the Quirks and Foibles sketch trio. You can find more from them online at facebook.com/Quirks and Foibles sketch. Are you making comedy sketches? Are you doing stand-up? Send it to us and we could feature it here on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. All the details on how you can get involved are at bbc.co.uk/upload. Parks featuring Nono and Phil Right Now. Some young people music there for you. I quite enjoyed that. That's made me feel quite perky. Thank you for joining me tonight. I had such a blast tonight. I loved the show. I need to say thank you to my brilliant guest, David Shepherd from Marlborough Productions, who is telling us about Marlborough's new all exciting chapter. My brilliant friend, Tracy Davis. Thank you, Tracy. I will never forgive you for that music. And thank you to Helen Lederer and Hannah Berry, who were telling us about the Comedy Women in Print Prize, Quip, if you will. Great guests, great show. Thank you for joining us. And I'm back next week, 8 to 10 p.m. Take care.